Amen.
Amen.
Good evening to everybody.
Amen.
How you doing?
Good.
Good. God is good. Blessed us to be here tonight to worship His great name. You're visiting with us. We're honored to have you tonight, especially on a Sunday evening. This still is the day the Lord has made.
Amen.
And let us rejoice and be glad in it. The first Lord's Day of 2020 has been a grand day. Amen. Been a grand day. This morning was a grand sight here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Of course, we worship God 8 o'clock and 11:15. And I don't know we have an official record, but we had our ministry fair today. This is just from my eyesight. This may be the first time in the history of the Fifth Ward Church of Christ that we had, I'm going to put a percentage on it, at least 95% participation from the whole church. And to see everybody exit this building after worship and go across the street and sign up for ministries, for works that they're committed to, I think we need to say praise the Lord. Yeah, and so it was exciting to see. It was exciting to see all of the ministry leaders at their tables, explaining and sharing what the ministry was all about. And some of them were just so happy. Oh, we got some help. We got some help. We got some help in all the different ministries. And so what a wonderful day. This morning, I told the church that normally at the beginning of the year, I like to give foundational messages that make sure we're still, this body is still in a line with God's word, with God's teaching, foundationally, that we're built on a rock, that we're built on the teachings of the Lord. And some of them may be repetitious, but we would never want to lose our identity as the Lord's church. And so this morning I started off with a basic lesson, a brief basic lesson, and we entitled it Bible Details. And because if we don't realize what the standard is, what our source is, we're in trouble.
Amen.
The answers to all of life's questions, life's problems, life's issues, whether they're issues of faith, whether they're issues of morality, whether issues of purpose, why are we here, whether issues of salvation, we need to know where we get our answers from.
Amen.
And there has been an attack, discrediting of the Bible as the Word of God. And so at some point we have to make sure we understand that the Bible is the Word of God. And especially for our young ones who come up behind us, and there are all of these sources in different places, and the internet, and philosophies and teachings, and you must answer the question, well, what's the source? What's the source? And as we try to illustrate briefly that there are many just minute, accurate details in the Bible that are just right on. We can even prove it with events and places, and we cover just a few this morning. And tonight, I want to expand on that a little bit as another reason why we believe that the Bible is the Word of God is because of the unity of the Scriptures. The unity of the Scriptures. These 66 letters, 66 books written by 40 different authors, human authors. Of course, the Holy Spirit being the inspiration, and written over a period of about 1,500 years. And then the first book in the canon being Genesis, the last book in the canon being Revelation. And even they, as far apart as they were written, they intertwine. There is this redemptive thread that runs between these two letters written all these years apart that we can readily identify. In the book of Genesis, we see the origin of the heavens and the earth. The passage, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is revealed in the book of Genesis. And then in the book of Revelations, the old order is replaced, the scripture would say, with a new order, a new heaven and earth. In Revelation chapter 21, you might as well wake up for a few minutes tonight. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, the Bible says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea." The Bible tells us that this earth we're living on, this place we're living on, one day is going to be dissolved.
Amen.
It's going to be totally burned up. But isn't it amazing that in the beginning, on the day, in on the first day of creation, that the heavens and the earth were new to us? Brand new, and God made it when he created all of the things that are on it and in it. And in Revelations we see this new heaven and a new earth. And of course, the deceptive Satan, who I think you would use the word, seduced our original parents. In Genesis chapter 3, in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Indeed, as God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden.'" Satan in his deceptiveness. Yes, but when we get to the book of Revelations, we see that Satan is cast into hell, where he won't be deceiving anybody anymore. In the book of Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, Revelations 20 and 10, "And the devil who deceived them," notice. And now it seems like in our time it would be a long time ago, but God always had his finger on the devil. On Satan, it says "the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet all are also. And they will be tormented," the scripture says, "day and night, forever and ever." Yes, yes, yes. Revealed in Genesis and Revelation. Then you have man who was, he was perfect in the beginning. He was originally made perfect, but he disobeyed God and sinned. We first see that in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. Genesis 3:6, it says, "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit," Lord have mercy, "and ate it, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate it. And sin entered into the world." And it's recorded in the book of Genesis. Boy, just almost make you mad. You just why did you do that? Yeah, but the scriptures say all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Did you say, "Why did I do that?" Yes, I do it all the time. All the time. Yeah, yeah. But we see in the book of Revelations that by virtue of the obedience of Jesus Christ, we've been granted another opportunity, a wonderful opportunity to be made, the scriptures say, perfect again. Perfect man was perfect in the beginning, and one time sin entered and perfection went away. Oh, but look at the book of Revelation chapter 7 and verse 14. It's Revelation 7 and 14. "And I said to him, 'My Lord,'" excuse me, wait a minute, am I in the right? Right? "Yes, I said unto him, 'My Lord, you know.' And he said to me, 'These are the ones who've come out of the great tribulation, that have been washed their robes and have been made white in the blood of the Lamb." Yes, yes, yes. One day, if we go through these trials and we keep God with us and we obey his word, all our sins already have been washed away. But in that day, we will be made perfect and be able to enter in glory with our great God. Lord have mercy. What a great day that would be. And all of this is made possible by the blood of Jesus Christ. And Genesis called it the seed of the woman in Genesis, in the book of Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. Genesis 3, verse 15, it says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed." Thank you, Lord, for her seed. "And he shall bruise you on the head, and you shall bruise him on the heel." This prophecy, sometimes when I was a young child in Easter, I didn't understand what they were even talking about. But it gives us a preview, gave us a preview of what was going to happen to Jesus and what was going to happen to Satan through the seed of Mary. Yes, but after we've been washed in the blood, we see that Jesus comes, before we've been washed in the blood, we see that Jesus comes through the offspring of David in the book of Revelation. So we go from Genesis to Revelation 22:16. "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David." The scripture calls it the bright and morning star. My, Lord have mercy. Yes, thee. And so just reading these letters, we can be so confident that the word of God is true and it's right. But it's a disheartening story when you read in the book of Genesis. But thank the Lord for the book, Lord, letter of Revelation, because the sorrow of Eden, the scripture says, will be transformed into the joy of heaven. Yes, yes. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, "To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth." What a horrible day. Sisters, I got to say this to you. Sisters, Lord, I'm glad I'm not a sister. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And you can say what you will or may. I know they got medicine now that can help you. Thank you, Lord, for some medicine.
Amen.
As I said this morning, as Brother Levi been saying for a long time, the Bible is right.
Amen.
And God pronounced this on women for all time, way back in Genesis. And Lord have mercy, what a horrible day it must have been for Eve not even to realize how painful it would be when God pronounced this on her. The Bible says, "In pain you will bring forth children." And then it says, "And yet your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over." You know, in the beginning, it didn't seem there was no difference. It says that Eve was Adam's helper, but they had everything in paradise. But they seemed to be equal in roles, even in God's eyesight. And here we have now that God pronounced this punishment on Sister Eve and to all women for all times, it seemed. But thank the Lord for Revelations.
Yes.
Chapter 21 and verse 4, and the Bible says, "And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will be no longer any death, and death is ruling in our time."
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, yeah. And all the wishing, all the hoping, even all the praying we do does not stop God's will.
Amen.
Yeah, see, this is all the more reason why all of us should fully and wholly believe in the word of God, because we see these truths stay evident and becoming even more and more evident every day we live. If there is one thing that we could, as smart as mankind is, as now medicines is making us live longer, but all of us will die one day.
Amen.
And so God will never be made a lie. But it says, "And he will wipe," and the time is not yet that God has wiped away all the tears from our eyes. Even maybe it is today, we've shed some tears of sorrow. But it says he will wipe away every tear. Lord, when is that day going to come? That he can wipe away tears from my eyes and nobody will ever lose a mom again. Yes, a sister, a brother. Nobody will ever lose a child again. Nobody will ever lose a spouse again. That day, as surely as it's written in the word of God, that day will come one day. There will no longer be any death and there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. Oh, Lord, just if you could have a day with no pain.
Amen.
Oh, happy day. Yes, yes. It says that the first things have passed away. And as real as it was when Jesus, when the God pronounced it in the book of Genesis, in the book of Revelation, it will come to pass.
Amen.
Tree of life from which all, you know, the tree of life from which our earthly parents were separated in the book of Revelation, it will be back in our possession. Listen to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 22. Genesis 3, 22. Then the Lord God said, listen to this. Behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. And now he will stretch out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God had sent out from the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. In verse 24, so he drove the man out. And at the east of the Garden of Eden, he stationed the cherubim and the flaming sword, which turned every direction to guard the way to the tree of life. Yes, yes, yes. And from that point on, no more tree of life. But according to the scripture, the tree of life still yet exists. And in the book of Revelations, what Brother A.W. Willis read a few moments ago in Revelation chapter 22, in verse number 14, the scripture says, blessed are those who wash their robes. And see, that's why even if you're here tonight and your robe hadn't been washed, what do you mean, Brother Gary, my robe? Am I wearing a literal robe? Well, it's not literal, it's metaphorical. For when we are baptized into Jesus Christ, it is after we are baptized is the purest time we will be. When all of our sins are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And our robes have been made as white as snow. And the scripture says, blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life.
Amen.
And may enter by the gates into the city.
Amen.
Oh my goodness. The Bible is right.
Amen.
It is unified. It is consistent throughout all of the letters of the Bible from the beginning all the way to the end.
Amen.
My oh my.
Amen.
Yes, God is good. And he's wonderful. And he wants us to be with him forever and ever. Brother Ray Wilkerson started, reinforced and rehearsed the Bible reading through the Bible schedule, which I encourage everyone to, if you've already not already gotten a copy, to get it and to begin your reading. If you didn't start on the first day, you can catch up. It won't take you long. Now, if you wait to the end of February, you're going to be way behind. And so get your Bibles and start reading, because they are the lamp unto our feet and they are light unto our path. All of the scriptures are. So if you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, you haven't had your robes washed in the blood of the Lamb, then you need to be baptized into Jesus Christ. And you need not do it tomorrow. You need to do it tonight. You obey the Lord by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God.
Amen.
If you're willing to repent of all your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5. If you're willing to confess with your mouth what your heart believes, Matthew 10, 32. If you're willing to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. After you do your part, God is going to do his part. Jesus has already done his part. And if we live faithful unto death, in that day, in that last day, then we too will have a right to the tree of life. If you'd like to be baptized tonight, if you have a prayer request, please come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you. And